AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. For the second day this week, attention squarely focused on the U.S. Supreme Court for a decision on the availability of the drug mifepristone. It's key in medical abortions and miscarriage treatment, and is the subject of an intense court battle. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The Supreme Court is not being asked to rule on the legitimacy of the FDA's approval of the abortion pill. They are simply being asked to place a stay on the decision of the Texas federal judge disallowing the use of the drug while his decision is being appealed.
White House correspondent Weijia Jiang reports sources indicate President Biden will likely announce his re-election effort next week, perhaps as early as Tuesday.
We are told the president has not made any official decisions or even signed off on a specific date, so it could slide. This will likely be an important topic of conversation this weekend when President Biden will be at Camp David with staff and family.
Storms did destruction in parts of the nation's mid section for a second straight night. Power is out to tens of thousands in several states. In Austin, Texas, drivers were stranded. Some needed to be rescued because of flooding triggered by heavy rain.
I floated with it for a little bit because I didn't know what to do.
Forecasters say storms are possible this weekend in the Mississippi Valley and into the Deep South. It's still a chaotic and dangerous situation in Sudan, where fighting between the forces of two rival generals has crippled the capital, Khartoum. CBS's Imtiaz Tayyab.
According to the World Health Organization, over 400 people have been killed since the violence erupted a few days ago. Many thousands more have been injured, and few have been able to get medical help because the risks in trying to get to hospitals, which are already running out of supplies, are just so high.
And in the Middle East, it's an important day for Muslims.
Tens of thousands of Palestinians gathered at the Al-Aqsa Mosque for prayers marking the end of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan and the beginning of the three-day holiday called Eid al-Fitr. The Al-Aqsa Mosque is the third holiest site in Islam after the cities of Mecca and Medina in Saudi Arabia. The Jordanian-backed Waqf, which controls the site, said that 4 million worshippers had visited during Ramadan despite clashes between Palestinians and Israeli soldiers earlier in the month. Linda Gradstein for CBS News. Jerusalem.
Former pro wrestler Ted DiBiase Jr. has been indicted in Mississippi. It's alleged companies he runs got sham contracts and misspent millions of dollars in welfare money. Checking Wall Street right now, the Dow is down 74 points. The NASDAQ is down 30 points, and the S&P is down 8.5. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com.
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matt-Nair. Here's what you need to know. It's called loon fallout, and it happens when the migrating birds run into atmospheric conditions which cause ice to form, making them too heavy to fly. It's been happening in central and northern Wisconsin. Loons need at least a quarter mile of open water to run across in order to get airborne. If you see loons on the ground, call Loon Rescue or the Raptor Education Group Incorporated. Wisconsin's DNR is expanding the Check Out Wisconsin State Parks at Your Library program to 160 libraries starting on May 1st. Over 6,000 day passes will be available at the 160 libraries across the state. The one-time use passes are good for single-day admission for one vehicle at any state park, forest, or recreation area where admission is required. I'm Jane Matt-Nair. This is Civic Media News.
Embroidery Professionals Plus, how may I help you?
Hi, I'm looking to get my business logo put on some things. Is that something that you do?
Absolutely. Do you have items in hand or do you need to order apparel?
Actually, both.
Were you interested in having your logo embroidered or printed?
Actually, both.
Well, you called the right place. To get started,
Embroidery Professionals Plus has custom apparel specialists ready to work with your business, too. Two Wisconsin locations in Deerfield and in Eden. Embroidery Professionals Plus. Apparel you love. Service you crave. Oh, yeah. And home of the Wisconsin Tailgater hoodie.
The SHA 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
The liberals have basically made up this whole agenda that guacamole is made of avocados. It's not the truth.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Scobity boom boom. Scobity dog.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Should it be harder for college kids to vote?
Those darn kids.
Those darn college kids. Is it a bad thing that they can just get out of bed, walk to their polling station, cast their vote, and get on with their day? Should we change that?
It's so wrong, Kristen.
844-967-2789. In fact, should we make it harder for anyone to vote? Is that what we're doing here? Or should we maybe expand our message to appeal to more voters?
Gosh, that seems like a lot of work.
Oh,
doesn't it?
That's hard.
Yeah, that's hard.
That's really hard to understand. Well, you know, just listen to people and tell you what they want is difficult. Mm-hmm. It's better to just make sure that they don't want to vote. Unless they're going to vote for you.
Well, there's that.
Unless they're going to vote for you. Of course, we're bringing this up because Cleta Mitchell. What kind of name is Cleta?
It seems like a very Southern.
I don't think I've ever heard that name before.
Seems like a very Southern.
Southern?
Name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Longtime GOP attorney. She's a board member of the conservative-leaning Bradley Foundation, which I read has assets of $1 billion.
Yeah, so they're doing okay.
They're doing it. And I always have a little, because Bradley Foundation funds a lot of conservative-leaning things, but they also fund a lot of arts. Like the Bradley Foundation funded the new orchestra, like the symphony and
yeah.
Stuff like that. So it's not all things that we don't like, but certainly has a lot of influence and a lot of money. She's a board member for that group, but she's also someone who, helped former President Trump in his effort to overturn the 2020 election. In fact, she was on the call with Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, and then she didn't have to, but she did. She resigned from her law firm where she was a partner at Foley & Lardner. And now she runs an organization called the Election Integrity Network.
Uh-huh.
And April 15th, she was at an event with top Republican donors. And at that event, she was pretty adamant in that they need to curtail college voting and singled out Wisconsin, along with, was it Virginia?
North Carolina.
And there was one more. There was four states that she used as examples of those darn college kids that just won't vote for us. So let's make it harder for them to vote. So this was at a RNC donor retreat in Nashville. And do we have a clip?
We do have a clip.
Oh, great.
Take a listen to Cleta Mitchell.
We need to be looking at what are these college campus locations in polling? What is this young people effort that they do? They basically put the polling place next to the student dorm, so they just have to roll out of bed, go back to bed. And we need to build strong election integrity task forces in those counties.
Yeah, we just don't want college kids to be able to get up and go vote and go on with their day.
Well, I like that First of all, you know, it's just this assumption sometimes of, and I don't know if this is, I think it is. I actually think that there's social data as far as when we've, you know, all the things that have been done as far as partisan polling of how Republicans see liberals and Democrats, how Democrats see Republicans. And I do think it's more one way than the other that Republicans see the left as lazy versus the same. I don't think the left necessarily think labels the Republicans as lazy. There's other words that they group them in. But I love that, like, sometimes it's poor people, but in this instance, it's just the lazy college student that is just the only thing they're doing that day is sleeping and voting.
Nothing else on the agenda.
Nothing else. Just, I'm going to sleep in, I'm going to go vote, and then I'm going to go back to sleep. Whereas, granted, there are some college students, turns out, not a monolith. There are some that maybe do that, but there are many more, I would imagine, that are balancing working and school and other extracurriculars. I don't think there was a time in my life I was more busy than when I was in college.
Right.
As far as trying to take a full class load, work, and be in all the different activities that I was involved in. And so, first there's just that. But this also obviously comes on the heels of all of the things Scott Walker made the rounds saying post-election 2 weeks ago, as far as they're being indoctrinated.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And he didn't go as far to say, we need to make it harder for them to vote. But still, planting the seeds as far as this is an issue that we have to deal with one way or another.
Yeah, the inference is there that, again, these darn college kids are a problem.
So the question being, is it too easy for college kids to vote? Should we make it harder? 844-967-2789. But I guess the other question that I have is, what does it take for any party, but I guess in this case, the Republican Party, to realize that, why are they so obstinate against just having a more inclusive message and platform?
Because they believe they're right.
And that's so funny. It's just like the doubling down of, despite the majority, or despite us losing elections, which should indicate that the majority is not with us, but we are right, so we are still just going to push and power this through, so you can see, eventually you'll see how right we are if we just get our way. Eventually you'll come around to it.
Exactly. You'll recognize that we are right, we've always been right, and then you'll jump on board and it's going to be one big happy party.
Yes.
We have Ron from Milwaukee on the line at 844-967-2789. Hey, Ron, how you doing? Thanks for calling. What do you want to say?
Hey, I was a college student in the 60s and 70s, and at that time, when I was a freshman, the voting age was 21. And it was, the Republicans didn't want to drop it to 18, even though there was a movement to do that, because, you know, we had all these activist demonstrators who were troublemakers and so forth. And then this idea began to blossom that said, well, you know, you're drafting 18-year-old college kids, forcing them to leave college and go fight in Vietnam, but they can't drink a beer and they can't vote. What's up with that? And eventually that idea won out, and so the voting age was reduced to 18. So ever since then, they've been trying to noodle this thing and make it harder again, you know, and make it, well, you should vote in your parents' hometown. In other words, get on a plane and fly back and then vote, you know, during the week or something. And the only other thing I'd say about this is, mind you, they make it easier for people, for example, in small towns to go to a local site to register to vote and to actually vote. But they're all upset if anyone tries to make it easier for these college kids, because, like you said, you know, they don't have anything else to do today. Those long lines the other day on April 4th that we saw of college kids standing in line were because there was only like one voting area in schools like Madison with 45,000 students. So, you know, yeah, they're not being consistent here, and that's for a very good reason. Paul Weyrich, a Wisconsin conservative back in 1980, who was one of the founders of modern conservatism, was at a public conference one time and said, well, people are worried that not everybody can easily vote. And he said, hey, I'm a conservative. I don't want everybody to vote. Case closed.
I actually think Cletus said something like that before. I think in the lead up in the midterms of the fall, she said something around like, we don't want everyone to vote. And I think there is a sentiment of some people who definitely believe that because they want only the informed people, not just the people who vote against them, but as far as should uninformed, unengaged people be able to vote. And the truth is, it's our right, no matter what. Why you vote the way you vote is none of my business. But thanks so much for the call, Ron. That's good perspective as far as that there wasn't always, you couldn't always vote at 18.
No, right.
And you know, and there's been ebbs and flows of how engaged young people have been. And right now, they're super engaged.
They're fired up.
Because there is a lot of things happening that they realize is going to affect them. And it's as immediate as being a young person and wanting autonomy over your body, but it's also as long-term as like seeing the catastrophe that could be happening with climate change and that, you know, the people who were making the decisions for so long are not going to be here to enjoy all of those climate catastrophes.
Right.
And that they will be. And so we're talking about Cleta Mitchell and the leaked clips of her from an RNC donor retreat in Nashville on April 15th, talking about how she would how they need to handle the problem with the young people voting and how easy it is to now vote on college campuses. And I don't think, as far as I think, with the increased popularity of mail-in voting, there is a big difference, because as Ron was just saying, you know, before, if you felt like you had to like go vote in your parents' hometown, it was an easy thing to do. And now you have the option. You can either register at your college address or you can stay registered at your parents' address. And either way, you have an absentee ballot or you can vote in person if you vote where you live right now. And so would love to hear from you as far as how does this just impact, like when you hear things like this, especially if you're someone who's more moderate, you typically vote Republican. Isn't it embarrassing? I feel like if this was my party, I would be embarrassed as far as like, this is the tactics we have to do to win, because there's an entire demographic that just is not on board with what we're selling.
They don't like your policies.
We have a message on the Facebook Live where you can always watch Jane and I on As Goes Wisconsin on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. And Scott says, during Charlie Barron's live Cripescast pre-election, a Q&A asked, paraphrased, why do Democrats eat their own? And it was said Republicans are more unified on policy while Democrats are more across the spectrum of progressive stances. So Republicans are less likely to drift progressive inclusive. Oh, that's interesting. So as far as they're more unified in their message, is that what you understand that to be?
I would say yes, that they ideologically, they pretty much are in lockstep. 844-967-2789. We're going to keep this going. You can text and or call 844-967-2789.
All right, we'll be back in a minute.
Tens of thousands of Wisconsinites live with a debilitating chronic disease called lupus. Build awareness and raise funds by challenging your friends and family to register today for the 21st annual Walk to End Lupus, Now Milwaukee. The walk will take place on the morning of May 13th at beautiful Hoyt Park in Wauwatosa. Adult registration is just $30 and children under 15 are $20. Prices will increase after May 10th, so make sure you sign up now. To pre-register, go to lupuswi.org or call 414-443-6400.
Hey, 420 friends, did you know Cheech and Chong was coming into town?
Nah, I'm just kidding.
Knucklehead CBD and vapes are celebrating this 420 season just right. Whether you shop online at knuckleheads.shop, go into their store, or order online for in-store pickup, they are now offering their 420 discount, which is 25% off their delicious Delta 8 and 9 Galaxy edible gummies and their XL brand flower. So shop online at knuckleheads.shop today, or stop on into their Madison and Milwaukee locations,
550 State Street in Madison and 2949 North Oakland Avenue in Milwaukee.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by Taqueria Miyagi, Waukesha's authentic Mexican food truck, which is now open and ready to serve you. Find us at 1610 Lincoln Avenue in the BP gas station parking lot, or call us at 262-278-6590.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 59. Southwesterly winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Lows around 34. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Chance for mixed precipitation tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 44. Cloudy skies expected. Mid-40s Sunday. Warmer on Monday with highs in the low 50s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 48 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Here's the news, coming to you every hour on the hour. Here's the news.
Should we keep college kids from voting, or at least the ones that don't vote for your party?
Those rotten kids.
We are talking about Cleta Mitchell, and it's not even a hot mic. She was directly saying it into the mic to a bunch of Republican donors on April 15th, basically saying, we got to do something about these college kids. And the answer was not appeal to them.
No, or talk to them,
or think about what they may want from their elected representatives. It was, we got to make it harder for them to vote.
We have one more clip from Cleta. Let's take a listen.
Wisconsin is a big problem because of the first day, because of the polling locations on college campuses. There are 501c3s. Their goal for the Supreme Court race was to turn out 240,000 college students in that Supreme Court race. And we don't have anything like that, and we need to figure out how to do that and how to combat that.
And that's a fair thing to say.
Sure.
As far as we have to figure out how to combat that by also having a plan to try to turn out young conservative voters or appeal to moderate independent young voters. That is a different sentiment than the polling places being too close to campus are the problem.
Without a doubt.
And so that is, like, if you want to have a more robust strategy when it comes to turning out youth vote for people who vote Republican, that is what this is about. Like the YAFs and the whatever of like the different groups that counterbalance the left-leaning groups that do voter turnout for young people. But that's not, it doesn't feel like that's what she's saying. And this feels, you know, at least when Bob Spindell wrote that email or got caught writing that email after the election last fall, basically boasting how Black and Hispanic turnout in Milwaukee was lower than it had been in the past.
Congratulations, us.
It's like, good job for us. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously this worked. And people were like, that's super racist and anti-democratic. I think you should step down from being on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. He has not.
No.
He did not.
No.
But at least that was like an email also is like anything that can be screenshotted, you're potentially shooting yourself in the foot.
It's on the record.
But this was just so blatant, and it's almost like to be that blatant and to say the quiet parts out loud just show that they don't think there's anything wrong with it.
No, not at all.
And I go back to what I said before, is like, I would be so embarrassed if that was my party of like, I'm embarrassed even when Democrats, you know, the last couple cycles have, you know, pushed the more conservative, fringy candidate in the primary, thinking that they're going to be easier to beat. I was like, I just stay out of it. That's me. I think that's embarrassing. And so, but this would be wildly embarrassing.
Unless, of course, you agree with it. And again, it's our message is not resonating. So instead of changing the message, we're just going to make it harder for people to vote. 844-967-2789. You can text or call 414 checking in. Did you ever notice that the Dems do anything to get people to vote, but the GOP does whatever it can to keep you from voting? Ever-changing rules, long lines, makes you wonder which group really wants your support.
And it is interesting. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, Representative Christina Shelton, who's been on the show a couple of times, she's up in Green Bay. She did not out the person who she had this conversation with, but she did say she was like, I was having a conversation with one of my Republican colleagues. Mm-hmm. She did not say if they're in the state Senate or the assembly. And I'm paraphrasing this, but it was basically that she said she would rather risk her seat because she's in a pretty safe district. Like she's in Green Bay. It's gerrymandered to be very blue. So as long as she won the primary, likely she's going to hold on to her seat with our current maps. But she said that she was having a conversation with someone that she would gladly risk losing her seat in order to have a more competitive district. And the person she was talking to, who is also an elected official, said, well, that's generous of you.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, not
that's the way it should be. You should have to work and continue to earn your seat.
No.
And not just have it be a safe seat and the only fear you have is being primaried. That's generous of you. I would have loved for her to say who said that.
And doesn't that just speak volumes about why we're in such a mess? Because, again, there are so many in our state legislature who are not working on behalf of their constituents. They're working to keep their jobs.
And well, and keeping their jobs means keeping the party happy, which could also mean keeping Robin Voss happy.
Yeah, exactly. And I swear to God, the only reason that we're seeing any movement from the Republicans in the state legislature is because they got trounced. And Robin Voss almost lost in his primary. And now it's like, ooh, gosh, I guess after 8 years of not having to do anything to respond to our constituents, now maybe, oh, we might have to. Rats.
They're turning out to vote.
I know. Gosh, what a terrible thing for democracy.
Well, you know, I think keeping an eye on this is important because if they're willing to say this in public forums that can easily be reported on, and this is not something that got unearthed after like months of sleuthing and investigative reporting. This was like a couple days after she said it, it was news. And we clearly obviously have audio of her saying it. Same with the Bob Spindell email that got distributed pretty quickly after he sent it. It's just something to keep your eye on and know that their playbook right now is going to make it harder.
And just one other thing to point out, there is no evidence of widespread voter fraud. There's not. I'm sorry, but it's true.
We'll save this for later in the show, but did you hear about prove Mike wrong, Mike Spindell or Lindell thing?
This is great. Oh, it's great.
It's great. It's well, just some details of it that we'll tease. It was a $5 million offer for anyone who could prove him wrong with all of his evidence.
Yeah.
I'll let you guess how it turned out, but prove Mike wrong. Then they did. All right. When we come back, Jesse Opoyan is going to be here. We're going to do a catch up at the Capitol. What's been going on? Who's talking to who? Who's not talking to who? What gossip does she have for us? Probably not a lot, but certainly some updates on bills that have been introduced and are going to be voted on. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
CBS News Brief. Decision day at the U.S. Supreme Court for the drug mifepristone, key in medical abortions and miscarriage treatment. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The Supreme Court is only ruling on whether to keep the status quo and allow the use and availability of the drug for the time being.
A lower court battle will continue to play out. Strong storms have again hammered parts of the nation's midsection. This man encountered floodwaters in Austin, Texas.
It slowly stopped, and then as I went a little bit further, the car cut off and started floating.
Some people were rescued there. A day before Earth Day, a new CBS News poll on climate change.
Two-thirds of Americans think people need to address climate change soon, including more than half who think action is necessary right now. And this level of concern spans across gender, racial, and age groups.
That's our Deputy Director of Surveys, Jennifer DePinto. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. It's a new record low for unemployment in Wisconsin. The state's jobless rate fell to 2.5% last month. That's down from 2.7% in February. The Department of Workforce Development says only 76,000 people in Wisconsin are officially unemployed. The national jobless rate in March was 3.5%. Only seven other states spend less for each student than Wisconsin spends on its state universities. That's according to a new report by the nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum. On the other hand, Wisconsin is in the top five when it comes to funding two-year colleges. Lawmakers working on the state budget will decide in a few weeks how much money to spend on Wisconsin's higher education systems. In sports, the Brewers host Boston tonight. Freddy Peralta starts for Milwaukee. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
Embroidery Professionals Plus, how can I help you?
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot about your web stores. Can you tell me a little bit more about it?
Absolutely. We work with you to pick the products and personalize your page, then provide you the link so you can promote your store.
Wow, that sounds so easy.
To get started, email your designer.
Embroidery Professionals Plus has custom apparel specialists ready to create a web store for you. Two Wisconsin locations in Deerfield and Eden. Embroidery Professionals Plus, apparel you love, service you crave. Oh, and home of the Wisconsin tailgate hoodie.
Four times the fun, four times the excitement, four times the reasons you need to get to the Oasis Project's May 4th Splash for Cash event at Springwater Park. Join us for a day of fun in 45,000 square foot indoor water park, water slide, activity pools, game arcade, snack shop, 50-50 raffle,
all right, I won,
and 100 envelope ball. Go to oasisprojectwi.org/splash. That's oasisprojectwi.org/splash.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
To As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are joined by Capitol Bureau Chief of the Cap Times, Jesse O'Poyan, to do a little Capitol catch-up. It's been a while since we've had you on the show.
It has. I'm glad to be back.
How are
There's been nothing going on. I don't know why.
I know. Yeah. You know, it's not like you didn't have a midterm election and then a vitally nationwide watched Supreme Court election. And so are you breathing now? Have you take a breath?
I think I'm breathing a little bit. Yeah. I'm never going to say it's slow because that's just asking for things to get worse. But there's not a lot on the schedule right now.
Okay. We'll say that. That's great. So you could, are you doing some self-care and some me time?
Oh, God, no.
Well, you don't want it. You don't want to tempt the news gods by saying things are too slow, right, Jesse?
So exactly. Yeah. You know, you just embrace it while it's happening. And, you know, we know the state budget's coming up and it's going to, you know, the next thing's always around the corner.
So I guess it's been a little over 2 weeks since the election. It's been a little slower, but I guess that's why we still wanted to catch up and just see. Seems like there's movement as far as bills being introduced, bills being voted on, some of which will probably never have a chance to get signed by the governor, some of which already did. I think the reckless driving one passed and was signed. But as far as kind of like what's been going on in Madison outside of election news?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we're receiving some proposals. Committee hearings are going on. The Joint Finance Committee is doing its on the road listening sessions throughout the state right now, which is always kind of fun to see what, you know, people in not in Madison have as priorities in the budget.
Are you attending any of those or is it?
I haven't yet. I think they're in Minocqua soon. But yeah, I always like to try to get to one, but I haven't yet this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got, I think, coming up next week, they're going to have a hearing on Senator Devin Lemahieu's flat tax proposal, which is something the governor's not interested in signing.
Yeah.
They passed another bill, the assembly passed a bill this week to expedite the testing times for sexual assault kits. That's going to go to the Senate. The governor said he's going to sign that, assuming that it gets to his desk. Mm-hmm. So there's some bipartisan stuff going on, and then there's some more contentious things.
So let's talk. Is there any other besides the unanimous deadline, which is a good thing as far as setting a deadline when there's rape kits and stuff of actually getting those processed? Is there any other? We saw the bipartisanship on the reckless driving stuff. Any other collaboration that we can celebrate as far as things getting done?
I think those are the big things right now. You know, we might be getting closer on medical marijuana.
Yeah.
There was some reporting from the AP yesterday, but it doesn't look like we're anywhere near a compromise or cooperation on that yet.
Yeah.
So we'll take the two whole bills that we can actually agree on. Woot, 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 woot.
So then when we move over to some of the more contentious stuff that's being proposed, passed through committee, even potentially we'll have the votes, but we'll definitely not probably get signed. What does that look like?
Like I said, the flat tax thing's coming up.
But that moved from 3.5 to 4.5. There was just like a percentage difference-ish as far as the new plan.
Yeah, something like that. So, you know, that hearing, I think, will be interesting. Obviously, like we said, you know, it's not going to be signed by the governor. Yeah. I don't think by any means, but I'll be interested in hearing. I mean, we just haven't had kind of an out-in-the-open discussion about it yet, so... that'll be fun in the way that, you know, debating tax policy is fun.
Well, we actually did almost a whole hour yesterday on tax policy, and I thought it was fascinating, but we'll see how many other people we put to sleep. But so just to clarify with that, is that something that they're talking about putting in the budget, or is that something they're doing as a separate bill, the flat tax?
This is a separate bill. Okay. We may see it in the budget. It may look different. It may look the same, but this is a separate bill right now.
And then I know later in today's show, we're going to have Representative Robin Vining on to talk about some of the bills that sound like they're going to be voted on next week when it comes to getting people back to work, even though we have record unemployment as of yesterday. And so can you tell us more? We'll probably get more of a biased conversation in that. But as far as some of the facts of whether it's Medicaid or unemployment, or I think I saw one this week as far as banning individual cities from being able to do the universal basic income kind of programs. Yeah. I know Madison has a pilot program right now. I think Wausau got approved for a program. So some of those ones where it comes to workforce issues, what have those looked like?
You know, I haven't looked at them very closely, so I'm not gonna be able to give you good details, but it's all the things that you just talked about. And it's nothing particularly new, I would say, in terms of proposals that we've seen introduced before. And just generally, efforts to restrict, you know, any sort of public assistance programming.
Which, you know, instead of, never mind. I'll complain about it more when Robin's here, since Jesse has to keep her journalistic integrity and stay objective.
I know she does, but I thought it was all about local control. I thought one side in the legislature was all about local control, and these communities need to decide what's best for them, except when we decide what's best for them.
I think the guise of local control is definitely, it's got fewer legs to stand on these days
than it used to. But then I guess, so is there anything else as far as bills that people should be watching out for or movement on anything that you've seen, or it's been kind of slow as far as all eyes on the budget?
Yeah, that's the big stuff right now. The assembly was supposed to be in next week and they canceled that session. So,
no,
don't know why.
Any reason in particular? They didn't say anything?
So it'll be even slower, I guess.
That's a funny thing of just, we're just not going to do our job next week. And we don't have to tell you why, even though you're the ones who pay.
Don't they have to fill out a permission slip or something? I mean, come on.
I mean, they're basically like, they get to say like, these are the days that we could possibly be in session. And then they get to decide like closer to those days, if there's actually anything to take up. But if they don't have anything to put on the calendar, then
there you go. Well, then to pivot, I guess, a little bit back and still I feel like the postmortem is not over for the election because there's so much still to dissect, I think, going into 2024. And so one of the things you wrote most recently was kind of the resurgence. I don't know if resurgence is the right word, but how much the unions were involved in this election. And I think everything that I've always heard is kind of when Act 10 happened, how much that broke the unions in their ability to organize for elections. And so was some of the things you found as kind of a swing back towards that?
Yeah, I actually think resurgence probably is a good word for it. Pretty much, you know, every union representative that I talked to said, you know, they always get involved in elections, but they've never been so involved in a judicial race as they were in this one. This was an unprecedented level for most of those unions. I'm going to get my number here. They at the state and national level, the unions contributed more than $560,000 to Protasiewicz's campaign and the Dem Party. And that's just, you know, the union PACs, not counting individual member donations, which we used to have an easier time tracking before some changes to campaign finance law. But anyway, they spent a lot of money. They did a lot of on the ground work, grassroots campaigning, knocking doors, making phone calls, member to member communications on job sites. And, they're very pleased with the results. Obviously, there's been a lot of conversation about abortion. And I was kind of surprised, but I guess I shouldn't have been, that when I asked, you know, members of different unions who obviously have different interests and a variety of political beliefs, what they were most, I guess, looking forward to or hoping would come before the new court, it was redistricting. And looking at some of those, you know, Act 10 and other policies that affected unions in the last 10 years, right to work, prevailing wage, project labor agreements, they want to see all of those things revisited. Some of them, you know, would potentially like to see it revisited by the court, but there's also an argument to be made by some of the unions that if the state had new maps, the legislature could take action on those things in a way that might, you know, be more in their favor than the last time around.
We're talking to Jesse O'Poyan, who's the Capitol Bureau Chief of the Cap Times, and just doing a Capitol catch up as far as things that are happening in Madison, since she is there every day talking to people. And that's really interesting. And it goes back to, I think, it comes back to redistricting. And I think it's whether it's the ruling, because so much of what I feel like the criticism from the right was towards Janet Protasiewicz is legislating from the bench. And I would say most of us on its face don't want our justices and judges legislating from the bench. But if our only path to getting fair maps again was going to be there, then all of these other things that a lot of people care about can actually have a fair chance of being decided on by representatives who actually are representative of the state. And so it's interesting that was the connection of the unions of being like, well, listen, if we can get back to fair maps, some of this stuff that we care about doesn't have to get decided in the court. Like, we can actually make laws about it again.
Yeah, that was interesting to me. And also because, you know, yes, unions tend to donate to Democratic candidates, but you know that not every union member themselves personally is a Democrat or a Republican. There's a huge variety. And that is kind of the issue that they all, you know, were pretty motivated by.
That's super interesting. Anything else going on?
Well, what else? Well, we've got the 2024 Senate campaign has begun. Tammy Baldwin's in.
Yeah.
We've got Libertarian Phil Anderson, who has run for governor and U.S. Senate and state assembly before.
Wait, when did this break? I don't think I totally missed that.
At some point in the last week, he's in. But
okay, so this is Libertarian. Is he running as a Republican?
No, he's running as a Libertarian. There's still no Republican candidate.
Okay.
Yep.
And he's never won an election.
Correct.
Okay.
Is he independently wealthy?
He's like a real estate broker. I don't know.
Interesting. So run multiple times, never won, continues to run.
Yeah. I think, you know,
perseverance.
Perseverance, exactly.
Probably more than anything, just trying to push the, you know, a third party message or
a narrative.
You know, yeah.
Do you have any predictions or inside scoop as far as people you think will run on the Republican ticket?
Well, I think Mike Gallagher's still on the list. Yeah. There's a businessman from Franklin whose name is escaping me right now, who I think has pretty much said he's exploring that option. Tom Tiffany bought some domain names this week to at least explore the possibility. But also has said that he would like to see Gallagher run. So,
interesting.
Are, you know, there's always sort of the perpetual, will Eric Hovde run or will he not, or will he, you know, fund a candidate? I don't think he's run for anything since 2012, but he kind of thinks about it every time.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
Do you think the perception is, Jesse, that Tammy Baldwin's going to be tough to beat?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think we can expect that this is going to be another ridiculously expensive election. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of national interest in it. If you look at kind of the national handicappers, they put it at as a leans Democrat, which is sort of not quite solid, but, you know, better than a toss-up or neutral. So, you know, Tammy Baldwin is an excellent fundraiser. She's good at navigating issues that appeal to more moderate or conservative voters on some things. And, you'd be hard-pressed to find a Republican who would say, oh, she'll be easy to beat. But, you know, that being said, they're going to mount a strong challenge, and it's going to be a hard-fought race, another one.
We get to do it all. We have a break, though. Is this the longest break you've had in a while as far as time in between elections?
It might be, yeah. It's kind of been a blur. I think this might be.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think, is I guess maybe, because even early 2021, there was the state superintendent race, which wasn't not nearly as intense as this last race. So maybe there was a little bit of a break there. But you've earned it. So I hope that you're enjoying a little bit of the breath. How's your dog, your Cocker Spaniel, or your Cockapoo?
Cockapoo.
Yes.
She's
totally doing
terrific as always. She's going to be 8 years old in July, which I can't quite believe. but I got her during a non-budget year, because I knew that I didn't want to potty train a puppy during a budget season. And here we are 8 years later, getting into another budget, and she's got it down pat now. She's used to
glad to hear she's potty trained now.
Yeah. I think she's enjoying this quiet time probably more than I am. She's like, wait, you're not leaving me all the time.
All right, Jesse Apoyan, always so fun to have you on the show. Thank you for your work. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Great to be here. Thanks, guys.
All right, stick around for the brew quiz, headline quiz of the week. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
Tens of thousands of Wisconsinites live with a debilitating chronic disease called lupus. Build awareness and raise funds by challenging your friends and family to register today for the 21st annual Walk to End Lupus, Now Milwaukee. The walk will take place on the morning of May 13th at beautiful Hoyt Park in Wauwatosa. Adult registration is just $30 and children under 15 are $20. Prices will increase after May 10th, so make sure you sign up now. To pre-register, go to lupuswi.org or call 414-443-6400.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Weather brought to you by Taqueria Miyagi, Waukesha's authentic Mexican food truck, which is now open and ready to serve you. Find us at 1610 Lincoln Avenue in the BP gas station parking lot or call us at 262-278-6590.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy this afternoon with a high of 59. Southwesterly winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 34 tonight. Partly cloudy skies. Mixed precipitation possible at times tomorrow. 44 cloudy. Temperatures below average Sunday and Monday with highs from the mid-40s to the low 50s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 48 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
I want to be in the headlines. Anything to be in the headlines.
Summer chance. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And a reminder that we actually have 4 tickets for Sunday's Brewers game.
Yes.
That we are going to be giving away at some point during today's show. And as a reminder, you can always listen to the Brewers on Civic Media's flagship Brew Crew station, WISS Oshkosh Air Support, as well as WRCE News from the center in Richland Center. Not a problem, because you can download the Civic Media app and take those 2 stations with you wherever you go. So if you want to be able to, if you don't want to get blacked out by Bally Sports,
right,
as we talked about yesterday,
right,
of maybe not being able to watch the game, but if you can always listen to the game on Civic Media, specifically on WISS Oshkosh Air Support and WRCE News from the center in Richland Center. And so we're not giving them away now, but we do have 4 tickets. I think we're going to give them away as 2 pairs.
All right.
So we'll have 2 chances to win. For Sunday's game, given away at some point today. If you've already won tickets this month, you can't win again until next month.
You have to wait. It's 1 winner per month.
Yes. We need to spread the wealth.
Definitely.
We want many people the opportunity to award them the opportunity to go see the game, because we have pretty good tickets.
Yes.
And so
Fancy Brian and Luke Mathers were there and I've used some of our tickets, and I think they said they were pretty good.
Yeah. So so keep your ears alert, because we'll do that at either during the second hour or the third hour, because we're almost done with the first hour, so it's clearly not happening now. But what is happening now, it feels like we haven't done this in a while, but we're doing the Morning Brews weekly news quiz. This is where I get a lot of my news every morning. It's very quippy, the way that they write their newsletters. It's good variety of things that are happening in the world, and they do fun things like this that we can then do on air.
I love it.
So basically it's 5 different questions, multiple choice of news that happened this week, and we're going to see if we can get a perfect score. All right. Question number 1, which bank did Apple partner with to launch a high yield savings account? Now, I knew that they launched the high yield savings account. I don't think I remember which bank they're doing this
with.
I have
no idea.
JP Morgan Chase?
Hey.
Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs. I'm going to say Chase.
And I'll say JP Morgan.
That's the same thing.
Oh.
It's JP Morgan Chase.
Oh, sure. Of course it is.
Not to be confused with Morgan Stanley.
Oh, okay. So what are my choices?
JP Morgan Chase.
Okay.
Bank of America.
Bank of America.
All right, you're going to be.
I'll go Bank of America.
Number 2. What are Starship's engines called? Is that the Elon Musk?
The one that just went kaplooey?
The one that it was a what was it?
It was an unscheduled disassembly. Kaboom.
Kaboom. What are Starship's engines called? I may not do well in this either. Either Raptors, Pistons, Doges, or Super Mega Boosters. I kind of want it to be Super Mega Boosters.
I feel that. But I'm going to go with Raptors.
Okay. We'll see what it ends up being. Number three. Who recently became the highest paid player in NFL history with a $255 million contract extension? Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, or Jalen Hurts?
Jalen Hurts.
Yes, that one I know for sure.
Okay.
And also, his agent is a woman.
Cool.
She's one of the, like, she is the, that's the highest, I mean, it's the highest ever, but also, like, there's not a lot of NFL player agents that are women.
Right.
And so, all right, number four, which popular young adult franchise is reportedly getting a television reboot?
This is a terrible idea.
Twilight, Artemis Fowl, which I don't even know what that is, Divergent, The Maze Runner.
It's not Harry Potter?
I'm
going to say Twilight.
I think the Harry Potter's for sure happening, but that maybe that was older news.
Okay. Then I'm going with Twilight.
Okay. I will also go with Twilight. And then number five, an AI-generated song that mimics which two artists racked over 10 million views on TikTok last week. Dove Cameron and Khalid, Drake and The Weeknd, SZA and Phoebe Bridgers, Sam Smith and Kim Petras.
The only recognizable person to me is Drake, so I'll go with that one.
All right, let's see how we did. We have 4 out of 5.
Hey!
Not bad.
That's not too shabby.
The first one, and then we both were wrong with the bank.
Oh.
So Apple released a savings account with Goldman Sachs.
Oh, all right.
So, Starship's engines are called Raptors.
Ah! See, that just seems like an Elon thing to me. Ooh, let's
Super call it- Mega Boosters doesn't seem like it. I feel like...
Raptors implies danger.
Jalen Hurts became the highest paid player in the NFL. Twilight is getting a television reboot. And AI-generated Drake and The Weeknd collaboration hit 10 million TikTok views before the song was stripped everywhere. Because it was on Spotify. I still haven't heard it, but I read about it a lot this week as far as just it blew up. But it was not actually their song.
Yeah, and that's kind of a bad thing about AI.
It's the way that it is going to rip off artists is a real thing.
Yes.
Both visual artists and also music artists. I think there's going to be some really great advantages of like copywriting and stuff like that that is not real creativity, that it's just useful. It's just kind of like blog writing that has to get done. Like
sure.
It's stuff like that. But when it's actually sampling and taking people's artistry,
that's scary.
Yeah. But all right, well, when we come back, we're gonna talk later in the show. We said we have Robin Vining coming up.
Yes.
And then in the last hour of the show, there's two things being celebrated tomorrow. There's Earth Day and there's also record store day, which I didn't know was a thing. But we're gonna have a downtown Waukesha record store owner, Dan Schneiderman. It's Vinyl Vault Records.
Vinyl Vault, yes.
And
I just passed it this morning.
Perfect. And so, yeah, so it's downtown Waukesha, so he's going to be here. And we're going to talk about just physical media. I feel like it's a topical for the conversation we had on Wednesday about how Netflix is getting rid of their DVDs. And just the value that physical media still holds. And I think records really symbolize that. So we're going to talk to that. And then we're going to have a professor of microbiology who is part of a team that has been researching a cure for addiction is going to be here when we come back. And my big question is, because in order to research this, they used mice, which means that the mice had to take some cocaine, I think. And so what does a mouse on cocaine act like? I'm so curious. I can't wait to ask. All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
deserves freedom over their own body. Everyone deserves the right to choose. Everyone deserves access to quality, affordable healthcare without judgment. And everyone deserves a healthcare provider who stands firm on these beliefs. This is the Planned Parenthood experience at any one of our 22 health centers across Wisconsin that offer reproductive healthcare services for everyone. Book your appointment today at ppwi.org. That's ppwi.org, and get the care you deserve, because we will provide that care no matter what.
Todos merecen la libertad sobre su propio cuerpo. Todo el mundo merece el derecho a elegir. Todos merecen acceso a una atención médica económica y de calidad sin juicios. Y todos merecen un proveedor de atención médica que se mantenga firme en estas creencias. Esta es la experiencia de Planned Parenthood en cualquiera de nuestros 22 centros de salud en Wisconsin, que ofrecen servicios de salud reproductiva para todos. Haz una cita hoy en ppwi.org y obtenga la atención que se merece, porque nosotros le brindaremos esa atención. Páselo.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.